The next one up here, another one of these games with a hellacious line move here. This is Detroit at Minnesota. Minnesota started the week laying one and now is getting 2 points. And, again, from talking to you off air, best as I could tell, the smart money seemed to be going the way of the Lions here.
Yeah, the early big early line. That move jumped from minus one to plus one with the Vikings, like, instantly. And that's not, like, a huge move, obviously. I mean, 2 points, but still, it was very quick.
And here's what's fascinating, because a lot of times, you know, like in the Bengals game, the way the smart money's going is not, oh, you know, good old road favorite Ricky. Well, this is not I guess this is now a situation where Detroit's a slight road favorite. But again, a lot of times the smart money's going ways that guys like myself, like, why would it be going that way? See, I don't have to suspend my disbelief much on this one, because again, Detroit's got momentum and Minnesota does not. So it's very interesting that the smart money is going in the direction of the momentum, which I find to be very interesting here. I'm going to say Lions covering the two. It's a revenge game anyways. They looked bad early in the year against Minnesota. The momentum's going their way. Like me, the Lions.
Yeah, this is the third of my four recommendations, and I'm a little nervous because the early line, I'll be honest. This is kind of my favorite game almost of the week. It definitely is the Lions. Two teams going in opposite directions. The Vikings have already exceeded. You know, after seven games, they exceeded my win projection for them for the season.
Yep.
That's kind of embarrassing. I want to tell you something
right
now.
And they won't exceed it by much.
I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're going to win another game. Their schedule is brutal down the stretch, except for at St. Louis.
That's winnable.
You find me a game they're going to win. Read them off to me. Read them off to me. This week they're
right,
not going to
win. You got
still have their bye still coming
at
up.
At Chicago, at Green Bay. Loss. Then Chicago, loss. At St. Louis.
Maybe.
Now, here's the last two, though. Here's where we put an asterisk against it. At Houston and then Green Bay. Do either of those teams have anything to play for at that point?
Yeah, 2 weeks out, Houston may still be trying to sew up home field. Green Bay might be playing for a playoff spot.
Houston, I would predict by that. Well, the interesting thing is Houston plays Indy. I've never seen anything like this. Two of the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's what we said.
Yeah, and so it's a thing where my guess is by the second or third last week, you're going to see like half a game for these guys. I think they're going to be on the straddle on that.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if the New Englands or the Denvers or the Baltimores could keep up with Houston for that home field advantage in the AFC, because Houston's definitely going to want that. Getting back, you mentioned these teams, Detroit, Minnesota, played earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota scored both of their touchdowns on kick returns.
Yeah.
That was the decision. Their only win in the last four games was against Arizona, the deciding touchdown defensive. Christian Ponder has been atrocious over the last month. I mean, just
hideous. Yeah, who Dennis Green thinks he is. Yep.
I mean, he has stunk.
Yep.
I think he's thrown for 100 or less yards, like three of the last four games.
Yeah.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Minnesota, I think by the end of the season, could wind up being where we thought they'd be, one of the worst teams in the NFC. I really don't see them winning more than one or two games all year.
And this is
the
ship's
rest of the year.
Passing in the night that they
Detroit
will.
Is going to get back. I don't think Detroit, because they dug themselves such an early hole. Mm-hmm. I don't like that coach. And Stafford still looks too much at Calvin Johnson. And they're still too undisciplined. They are
Megatron's banged up.
They're going to battle with Seattle for the last playoffs. But I think they're going to come up short. Detroit's a team that is going to finish where I thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of 8-8, 9-7, right at that playoff spot. I said they would battle for the last playoff spot. I think they're going to come up short. So they're a team that I think will finish where I thought they would.
Right. This is ships passing in the night as far as Minnesota will be the fourth-place team. Detroit will be the third-place team in the division.
Yeah.
Next up here, again, two of the biggest overrated teams in the league. 3-5 Dallas at 3-5 Philadelphia. Fox Sports being Fox Sports is making this the national 425 game Sunday.
Of course.
Buck Aikman and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call. I do not.
What's not to like about this game?
Oh, except that these teams suck and neither one of them will sniff the playoffs at this point. Aside from that, Kyle Ross, I don't know why they would put the A team on the game.
So much charisma, so many storylines. I mean, this one writes itself, doesn't it?
Two coaches that will not survive the season.
Two of the worst coaches in the league. It's understandable.
Regressing. Yeah.
He's just been there a while. Personal issues. Jason Garrett is awful. Jason Garrett could be the worst coach in the league.
Peter Principal. I mean, he was a very good offensive coordinator, and they projected that he would be a great head coach.
Garrett's down there with Pat Shermer, your boy, and Ron Rivera of Carolina as the three. Those guys are just Did you see last week? Did you watch the Dallas Atlanta game? I'm assuming you saw part of it.
There was bits and pieces.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a part, and it was something that you really had to be watching closely to notice, where Dallas, it was just an awful play call on 2nd and 10. They did like an inside handoff. It went nowhere. And you could tell Romo hated the play call because it almost looked as if after Felix Jones was tackled for a 3-yard loss, he looked at Garrett and said, I could have told you that play would have sucked, pal.
A very, very Jay Cutler-esque reaction.
It kind of was. And Tony Romo, look, he screws up a lot at the worst times. I think
very
he's
overrated.
I think he's kind of underrated.
Very overrated.
I think he's a top 10 quarterback.
He's not a winner. He's absolutely not a winner. He'll screw up at the most
he's
inopportune
a top, I think he's a top 10 quarterback.
I couldn't disagree more. It's funny how ESPN.
Oh, here we go.
With their core audience of rubes, they were trying to get everyone to believe that Dallas. Because again, Dallas is for real. These Atlanta guys. Who's even heard of the Atlanta Falcons? ESPN. Catering to the ignorant, as they are wont to do, had you all ginned up to think that this was going to be Dallas's coming out party for the season on Sunday night.
A lot of people thought that wasn't just ESPN. You're picking on a network you don't like. Remember this, okay? ESPN might be a four-letter word, but so is blog. Thank you very much. All right.
Where this show is hosted, actually.
Yes. Is Joe Flacco better than Tony Romo?
I'd take him over.
I think you're wrong.
My thing
is Matt Schaub better than Tony Romo?
What's the standard? If I got a playoff game, do I want him in it? Yeah, I'd take Matt Schaub in a heartbeat over Tony Romo.
I disagree.
Matt Schaub is no downside. Tony Romo could blow a game for you at any time.
Yeah, what about that upside of Tony Romo? What about when he just gives you that great game?
Give me the workmanlike excellence of a Matt Schaub.
I have Romo number 10, slightly above Schaub and Flacco.
Ugh. I would not rank him there.
As for this game,
don't even tell me you have him above Matt Ryan right now.
No.
Okay.
I have Matt Ryan number 7.
Matt Ryan
is my top tier 2 quarter of non. Matt Ryan is my top non Super Bowl winning quarterback
Matt
right
Ryan
now.
Matt Ryan was making a dark horse run at league MVP this season.
If they go unbeaten, he'll get it for sure.
They're 14-2. He's in the conversation.
Yeah, sure, he will. Yeah. Just because he's the most visible player on the team with the best record.
Yeah.
Voters like to give it to someone new too.
They're not going
to
give it to like Julio Jones. Yeah, wide receivers don't get it.
No. Yeah. But as for this game, all right, we've ranted about the Cowboys a little bit. Can I rant about the Eagles?
Having said that, I'm going to go on the Cowboys. Let me just get that in there. I'm taking the Cowboys.
The problem is they're favored now, and I don't like laying points with the Cowboys ever.
Yeah, but as you said off air, the Eagles can't protect Vic, and that's what I'm going to go on.
Okay, good segue.
The Cowboys will get to Vic.
Good segue, because I want to rant on the Eagles.
Okay.
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I kind of like Mike. I don't know him, but I don't harbor any sort of visceral hatred towards Mike Vick.
You share some fondnesses.
He paid his debt to society, as you know. Personally, I believe in second chances. He did pay his debt. I am not, have never been a dog lover. I've sort of kind of become a de facto dog owner with the incompetent Zuki that will run around here from time. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend's, I like Zuki, but so I think that plays a role. You know that, that
you've purchased water bottles at the same place as Mike Vick.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, hold on here. Okay, so I here's where I'm going with this, because let's talk football. I'm not going random soliloquies here about life, the birds and the bees and whatever. There is a ground swelling clearly to bench Mike Vick. And has he played well this year? No. But, look, when he gets to play, he's not going to go back to Andy Reid. I'd rather hand the ball to LeSean McCoy, because he'd get killed for that, too, if he said that.
Right.
Here's the issue. If there was a more viable option, and we don't talk about college football a lot on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something about Nick Foles. 2 years ago, I don't think this guy was a top 5 quarterback in his conference. Wish my good friend Rick Schultz was here right now, because we could go through it. Andrew Luck was in that conference.
Okay.
Jake Locker was in that conference. Matt Barkley, who's still in college, is better than Nick Foles.
Yeah.
He will be better in the pros. He'll be a starter. Ryan Katz, who has since transferred to San Diego State. He was the quarterback at Oregon State.
Don't forget Brock Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler. Whoever was the quarterback of Oregon at that time, I probably would have taken over.
Yeah.
And all Foles did last year.
Joey Harrington.
No, it wasn't Joey Harrington.
I know.
All Nick Foles did last year was get his coach fired, by the way.
Right.
So people look, he's got those. I'm not saying Nick Foles is awful. He'll be the worst ever, that he can't come in and maybe win you a game or something like that. He's got good measurables.
Mm-hmm.
Long term, behind that offensive line, though, he isn't going to do anything. If you think that the Eagles, with all this talent, by putting Nick Foles in there, will all of a sudden become a playoff team, man, you're fooling yourself.
I agree with that.
That being said, regardless who plays quarterback the rest of the year, Vic or Foles, I am very worried about the Philadelphia Eagles. I can't bet them. They're toxic. This could get really ugly. I mean, really bad.
We already had the Reed must go chance. How much uglier could it get?
Like, I'm telling you, they maybe.
Well, this is Philadelphia, so
yeah, this
throwing
could be
seats on the field?
Yeah, I mean, this could be a team that only wins a couple more games all year and finishes with the worst record. It could end dismally. I just want to make it clear that Nick Foles, he's a statue. The Philadelphia's offensive line is terrible. Mm-hmm. That is not going to. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if you do, the record's not going to be good. The Eagles are a team who, along with Kansas City and Carolina, are my biggest disappointments this year.
They are.
And Philadelphia, given that I thought they were a team unlike those other two that could maybe win a playoff game mm-hmm. coming into the year, and last year the debacle, it's over for Andy Reid. It's probably over in Philadelphia for Mike Vick.
Yeah.
I think he'll land on his feet and get another starting gig elsewhere, don't you? A team desperate for a quarterback. Here's the thing.
And get a $100 million contract
for
a third sucker team?
No, he won't. But there's three or four teams that need to make the switch at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a great quarterback draft. One of the teams, you know, either a, you know, Kansas City is probably the most likely landing place for Matt Barkley, I think, because they'll be picking high in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Matt Flynn's going to get traded somewhere.
Yeah.
But I see Vic. I don't know if it's maybe like a Buffalo or something like that. I could see him starting somewhere else next year. This is just going to be an ugly finish for Philadelphia. I just can't lay points with Dallas.
You know what? And a good way to bring it.
Philadelphia is a strictly go-against team. You either go against them or you can't bet them anymore. I mean,
all right, so
that was awful.
So you're taking Dallas also?
No, pass.
All right. To bring it full circle on the Eagles here, this is, again, to cite one of my favorite shows on TV, this is going to be a game that could get so ugly it could inspire an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I would look forward to seeing what they would do with an ugly game like this.
I mean, who knows? Can you imagine what the deciding play in this game is going to be? It's going to be like, you know, Tony Romo is going to throw the ball. It's going to bounce off Dez Bryant's head, off Nnamdi Asamoah's hands. You know, Jerry Jones will be screaming on the sidelines the whole time with Jason Garrett. And Jason Witten will be laying on the ground. It'll somehow fall on him in the end zone. You know, I mean, it's going to be something so preposterous
yep.
that decides this game. That's why I can't recommend betting. It's going to be some horrible turnover, whatever. Do you know what's clearly, I bet you, is going to happen here?
What?
The team that plays best will lose.
Yeah, probably will. And the Eagles, it's one of these things where, again, to go back to my Sonny analogy here, I would look forward to seeing Danny DeVito as Frank Reynolds leading a riot from the upper deck chucking whiskey bottles on the field. That's the kind of thing I'm hoping to see Sunday.
Should Andy Reid take next year off?
He probably should. If I were him, I wouldn't jump back into it. But then again, I mean,
there's going to be some openings, and there's going to be some good quarterbacks
Cleveland.
He can work. No way.
People think that. What that? So
because well, him and Joe, he pushed Joe Banner. I was going to say that's the one spot he can land because he pushed Joe Banner out in Philadelphia.
Now he okay. It depends on the politics of it because I heard that they were still tight and Banner just left for a better opportunity. But yeah,
okay.
If you're right, then yeah, it's toxic and he couldn't land in Cleveland.
Okay.
As a Browns fan, I wouldn't be rooting for that anyways. I don't want a guy coming right off the experience he is.
I also think that he should go to, if the job's open, and I think it could be, San Diego might be a decent fit for him.
Because
it's not the passionate fan base that he'd have to put like in Philadelphia.
Yep.
He has what we still think, I don't want to speak for you, what a good quarterback to work with in Rivers,
sure.
Although he's regressed over the last 2 years. That might be a decent situation for him to consider. But other than that, he should not take a job next year.
It might very well be. Also out in California, the land of fruits and nuts here, the 49ers at 6-2, hosting the 3-5 Rams. For a game of this magnitude, Fox is sending Chris Myers, Tim Ryan, and Jamie Maggio for the game. And
Tim Ryan's not bad.
No, he's not bad.
Chris Myers is a little bland. He's kind of boring.
He
doesn't seem like he wants to be there ever.
He Yeah, he projects kind of an odd vibe sometimes. I don't exactly know, you know, if he's projecting sometimes a passive-aggressive vibe about something. It's a weird thing to kind of deconstruct what Chris Myers
I've never gotten that far into it.
Okay. I've been more thoughtful on the subject, unsurprisingly, than you have. Looking at this here, again, San Francisco started the week laying 12. It's down to 11 now. I don't have a real strong feel on this game.
No.
I was wrong the last time out against Arizona. I saw it as being a lower scoring kind of a game and that Arizona would cover. I was wrong. But I'm going to say it's back in the vibe.
When they played the Niners on Monday night, you're
sorry. Niners played Arizona. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Yeah. So I'm looking at this, and again, I have a feel that this game is basically in the vein of like 21-13, something like that. I think the Rams are going to get the back door on this one here. I think they're at a low ebb as far as public estimation right now coming off of those Green Bay and New England games. I don't think San Francisco has the kind of offense, even at home, even off of a bye week.
Both teams off a bye week here, yeah.
It
was a good chance for the Rams to be off the bye week because they were coming back from London.
Yeah.
The Patriots, so I'm sure the league would be the bye.
And the Rams needed it, but yeah, again, I don't think the Rams can win this game, but at 11, I think the back door is open. I say take St. Louis and the points.
See, it's funny because I'm not laying double digits, but do you know why the Niners are in such good position in this division? All of the NFC West teams are built the same, and they're just better.
Really? Okay.
They're all strong defensive teams with subpar to average at best quarterback play.
Yeah? Wow.
Run the ball heavy. So they're set up right now. They have the best coach for a good run in this division. All the regression on the analysts who predicted a downfall for the 49ers this year, look, I agreed with them. I said there was no way they were going to repeat 13-3 season.
Right.
But that division's not as bad as we thought it was, but I just think the way they're built, the Niners, they're built to really dominate this division. The Rams aren't like the Giants. The Giants are a team that matches up pretty well, as we've seen, with the Niners. The Rams don't. It's a pass for me. Okay. It's going to be right around the number. It's going to be right around a 10-2 touchdown win for the Niners. No way do I want to get involved in this game. Also, it's interesting. Both double-digit favorites this week involved in games where both teams coming off a bye.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I take that back. Buffalo wasn't off a bye. I lied.
No, Buffalo
I lied.
Was
I
not.
Lied.
But
both of
was.
These teams are off a bye.
Yeah.
We saw last week a game. Buffalo last week was in a game where they were a double-digit dog. Off a bye to a team off of the Buffalo-Houston game. Both teams were off a bye last week and double-digit favorite covered.
Right.
If that made any sense.
And we saw earlier in the season a Sunday night game that I thought was going to be coming into the season, the Super Bowl preview. Green Bay at Houston, and Green Bay thumped them pretty good, 42-24. We see now this Sunday night the game that you picked as the Super Bowl preview. Yeah. Houston is at Chicago this week. Very, very, very interesting game. When you're talking about two quarterbacks all said and done are more or less probably on about that same tier right now. Both teams with a strong running game, but both strong against the run. Both teams with a real bell cow superstar wide receiver, and then kind of a drop-off after that, particularly in the case with Chicago, because Alshon Jeffrey, who's having a pretty good rookie year, went healthy, has not been healthy recently. So a lot of similarities between the two teams here.
Yeah, I was breaking this
mirror.
It's unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Both of their losses to Green Bay.
Both of them to Green Bay, but here's the thing. Now,
In a night game.
But here's what I'm looking at. And both of them, again, at 7-1, and I've got in the power rankings right now Houston 2 in the league, Chicago 3. I think it's very close.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Vegas, it's pretty similar with the Bears at home -1. You know, they don't get the – if teams are even, you get 3 for home field advantage. So Vegas obviously saying Houston on a neutral field a little bit better, so you're not far off. So, but, these teams are – you know, right next to each other. It's unbelievable.
And the thing is, too, and I'm not saying that either team both teams are as good as their records. They're deserving 7-1 teams. Having said that, I'm sure you were doing the same thing I was in trying to pull this game apart. You start looking game by game. Outside of the Green Bay games, the only other big game that I really saw for either team thus far was what Houston did to Baltimore with a 43-13 win. So Houston is 1-1 in the big games this year. The Bears are 0-1. In a game where, again, so much is even between them, That's all I need to go on Houston. I think, again, if Houston would be the favored team on the neutral field, I don't think it's going to be enough of an advantage Sunday night being at Soldier Field. I think it could be an absolute classic game. Again, very well could be a Super Bowl preview. By the narrowest of margins, I like Houston and the 1 point. They've been getting one pretty solidly through the week. I like them in the point.
Pick this game to be the Super Bowl before the year.
Mm-hmm.
Houston is going to finish with the best record in the AFC. Almost certainly. I think the Bears will, along with Atlanta, will get one of the two byes in the NFC. I believe they will win the NFC North. Interesting that I think they can win the NFC North and lose both games to Green Bay.
Yeah.
But I don't see the Bears finishing any worse than 12-4. Same with the Texans. For me, this comes down to what I agree with a lot of things you said. The Bears' schedule has been very easy, and the Texans hasn't exactly been difficult either.
Right.
I mean, you know, the Texans obviously playing in that division have already played the Jaguars. They beat them pretty handily.
Tennessee.
They played the Titans, right?
Part of it's when you play teams. They played Miami week one and Denver early on when they were still kind
That's
of feeling
true.
Their
they
way.
Beat Denver, too. Here's
I'm not
the thing.
Including Denver as a big win because of when they played them. That's the okay. Denver was in some disarray.
It was
at the
in
time.
Denver, though, too, keep
it
in mind.
It was in Denver, yeah, but it's arguable on my point, but I'm not counting that as a big win on par with Green Bay and Baltimore.
You know what the difference is for me?
What?
How long can this Bears defense be pulling these tricks, man?
Yeah, it's true.
That Houston, it has not been pretty, but they've pretty much dominated all these lesser teams. If you watch those games, it's not... Just to use a lame term, a sports center worthy performance.
No.
You know, they don't do a lot of flashy things. They just come in with a game plan, they execute it, and they win. And they win usually pretty handily. They have not had, none of their wins have been close calls, really.
Right.
Even the Denver game, which I think was like a 31-25 final, if memory serves me correct.
Right.
They were up by 20 in that game, and they went on a drive to keep Peyton Manning off the field. So, a slight lean here to Houston. If the Bears' defense stops scoring at this ridiculous rate, they could be in trouble in the playoffs.
Well,
I'm still confident that Houston is winning the AFC. Believe it or not, even though the Bears have maybe even outperformed where I thought they'd be through eight games, I'm not as – and granted, they're in a harder conference too. I just think Houston's slightly better – and while the line is negligible, obviously if you're picking Houston, you're going to say they're going to win the game. Because it can't be, I guess it could be a tie. This just in Donovan McNabb, there are ties in the NFL. But I just think that Houston doesn't make the mistakes that Chicago's defense feasts off of so much. Chicago, not only, it's interesting to see, it shouldn't maybe be a surprise they have so many defensive touches. They faced a lot of turnover-prone teams. Jacksonville. That Tennessee game was like it was a comedy routine in the first quarter last week.
Well, you talk about opportunism. This is another thing here.
Plus 7 in turnovers this year.
I just remembered now, and I'm so glad I didn't forget to bring this up with you here on the air. I was looking at this, and it really jumped out at me. This is really striking. As far as net yards, Chicago, as a 7-1 team, is only plus 50 yards on the season. What they've gained, what they've given up.
Ooh.
Chicago is plus 680. Or I'm sorry, Houston is plus 685. Houston is 635. No, seriously, if I'm reading this right from this week's USA Today Sports Weekly, Chicago 2595 total net yards, 2545 surrendered. And versus Houston is 2974 net yards. 2289 surrendered. Plus 685 to plus 50. I got to go Houston.
I almost kind of want to make this recommended play. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'm almost second-guessing myself that I did.
I hope I said that in the microphone. I was like kind of thinking out loud there. That was not good radio at all. The Bears' offensive line is still not good.
Yeah.
Also, another thing to keep in mind,
yeah.
They've given up 14 sacks the last 3 weeks. Mr. J.J. Watt.
Yes.
Leads the league in sacks, 10.5.
Feed him more.
Yes. He very good.
Thank you.
The Bears have beaten one team with a winning record,
yeah.
By the way. It was the Colts, week one, when Andrew Luck was making his first ever start.
Yeah.
Slight lean Houston.
Okay.
Not a recommendation. Not going with it. But
all right. I don't think we've differed on a game yet thus far. There have been some
where I've just kind of like punted. There's well, I already know there's one in your remain because you've already given away one of your big three.
One of my big three, and so there's the other ones to go. Yeah, because one.
And we're disagreeing. One of my recommended goes against one of your big three.
Oh wow! Okay. Yeah. All right, before we'll get this last one.
You could probably
out of the way
guess which game it is.
It's the Monday Nighter, yeah.
It is not the Monday Nighter, I'll tell you that
we'll
much.
We'll get the Monday Nighter out of the way. 1-7 Kansas City at 5-3
Punt
Pittsburgh.
On this game. Do something else next Monday night, folks. Go on a date. Put in a movie. Don't watch this
Pittsburgh's
game.
Pittsburgh's laying 12.5. It's up from 11.5. Reluctantly, I'm saying Steelers as far as the play. Don't like laying that many, but Kansas City is in such complete and total disarray. I'm saying Steelers.
The Jags are the worst team. Kansas City's definitely number two.
Yeah.
They're real bad.
Yeah.
They're real bad. They're going to win about 3 or 4 games. Crennel, it's going to be a 1.5-year wonder for him. But there's no way I'm playing this game.
Okay.
There's no way you can play the side of this game. Kansas City is so maddening with the turnovers.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they played Chicago?
Ooh.
Chicago might score 6 defensive touchdowns in the game.
That would be double bagger fugly if they were to play them. Ugh.
But Pittsburgh's kind of in a letdown mode off the win over the Giants, no? And I think they've got Baltimore on deck, don't they? Can you check that for me?
I think they've got
Baltimore on deck.
Yes, they do.
And that's a night game, too.
Yeah.
So we've seen Pittsburgh phone it in. Granted, it's at home. Didn't these teams play on Monday night, like, last year or something, and it was just an awful, hideous game? I can look that up real quick.
Okay.
Say something funny real quick, and I'll look it up. It'll only
all
take
right.
me a second
well,
here. It serves me correct that I've watched a horrible Monday night game between these teams before.
This isn't funny, but it's highly insightful. Antonio Brown being dinged up, you wonder what kind of trickle-down effect that may have on the Pittsburgh offense. I'm undermining my point here for taking the Steelers.
Okay, last year, November 27th. I don't know if that was a Monday night or not. I think it was. The Steelers beat Kansas City 13-9 as an 11-point favorite.
Okay.
Kansas City seems worse this year. So it's going to be like, I could see it being 17-9.
Yeah.
Probably an under. Probably the under might be. If you're desperate for Monday night, you have a bad Sunday, you're real degenerate like me, you may want to look at the under. 42 seems high.
42? 42. Are they planning on 3 defensive touchdowns in this game? How do you get 42?
How have the Chiefs gone over in 3 straight games, by the way? Oh, because they've given up 38, 26, and 31 points. That's why.
Yeah, because they I don't think there's there a soul in the universe that is going to be playing the combo of Kansas City and the over? There couldn't possibly be, right?
Maybe do a little teaser on it. Maybe, you know, you could tease them up to what? About plus, what's the final line we got here that we're showing?
Final line is 12.5. So if you got it down
you
to 6.5.
Do a two-team, 6-point. No, no, do a two-team.
Oh, to tease, 18 and
so
a half,
good
yeah.
to 18.5 and over 36. I might take that.
Oh, even that.
Because, I mean, basically you're saying then you're going to win as long as they don't lose like 30-0.
Yeah.
You're basically betting, okay, they won't lose like 27 or 30 to nothing.
And yet it very well could happen. So
what an awful game. I know you want to make fun of ESPN because they have this game.
It's horrible.
The NFL Network has Indianapolis-Jacksonville, so be objective.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just kind of...
Kansas City was supposed to win the division this year.
Yeah.
I said that. I wasn't the only one.
Doing a little happy dance here that ESPN has settled with that game. Good for them. So, on my big...
How many guys in this game are just a football player?
We're going to hear that a lot on Monday. For my big three, I already covered that putting up on Twitter this week, because it will be before the broadcast goes up. Indianapolis on Thursday night, one of the plays that leaves us two more. Next one up here is 3-5 Jets at 5-4. Seattle Seahawks are laying 6.5 in this one, up from 5.5. I don't feel good on this one at all. This is one where, again, I could see getting...
That's one of your big three.
It's one of my big three, yeah. It just shows you that, you know, it's like, what am I going to use for my three? Then again, some of the weeks where I felt the worst about it, like week two was my legendary week where I just killed on it. So my gut feeling on what is a strong play or not is generally not to be trusted. It's just whatever I go with in the end should be trusted. Looking at this again, but I have such little confidence in the Jet offense here.
Jets are bad.
They are horrible. And in defense of Sanchez, who everybody wants to pile on, he has no weapons in the passing game
Correct.
Right now. That
it's not his fault. There's no talent on that team.
There's not.
That's why I just think they should go to Tebow, because Tebow's style is just more conducive, as we saw with Denver last year.
Chaos theory.
Just to pull
yeah.
some stuff out of your arse, you know
chaos
what I'm saying?
Theory, yeah, that's what they've been reduced to. And I think Rex Ryan doesn't want to believe that that's what his season's been reduced to, but it has.
Bold prediction.
What?
Both Rex Ryan and Tim Tebow will not be back with the Jets next year. One will go, because I think Ryan's the one who doesn't want to play him.
Yeah, well, that very well could be. Because I think
if Ryan stays, they'll trade Tebow. If they really want to keep Tebow, they'll fire Ryan.
I think Ryan sees it as waving the white flag, which a lot of people would. Under the circumstances, again, and I'm very, very wary, because, again, Seattle has burned me so many times this season when I've gone on them or when I've gone against. And I understand the whole thing about playing off of the previous week and what they did to Minnesota, but again, I'm just looking at the up arrow and the down arrow.
Loved
in this
him last
one.
Week. I was all over him last week.
Yeah, yeah. I picked him. I don't think that was one of my big plays last week. It was not. I know it was one of yours. I don't feel good about it, but, yeah, I'm saying Seattle laid a 6.5, and that's one of my big three, even though I don't feel real good about it.
The Jets are off a bye is the only thing that scares me here.
Yeah.
Do they pull something out? Seattle, it's so crazy. And I think Seattle's going to get the last wild card spot in the NFC.
I do,
San Francisco in the wild card round. Divisional matchup. Harbaugh, coach him up, Pete, round 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just leery that number's getting a little high. Seattle's good, and they're almost borderline great at home, but I don't know about when they start laying this many points. I mean, look, I've always said the general rule is you play Seattle at home, play against them on the road.
Yeah.
That's simple. I got to stay away here because I'm with you. I really like – I think Seattle is really good. I think they're a top 10 team.
Okay.
And I think the Jets really stink. But I'm punting on this game because I'm just nervous. Jets coming out of a bye. They had that horrible showing. Remember, I was all over Miami in their last game when they housed the Jets 30-9 at MetLife. If the Jets have any pride, they'll come out and do something here. But I'll tell you what. Talking about matchups,
mm-hmm.
we're matchup people. Jets passing game versus Seattle secondary.
Yeah. That's the main reason probably that I'm on Seattle.
Over under 50 passing yards in this game for the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean,
how are they going to complete anything on that secondary? That's the biggest reason that I'm on the Seahawks this week. That's it for me.
Over under number of rear end slaps coach him up Pete gives to Rex Ryan after the game.
2.5.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
Yeah. In quick succession.
Okay, there we go, yeah.
Last one.
And we're disagreeing here.
Yeah, my 1,000-star gold plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 10.
I assume we're disagreeing here at least.
Well, we probably are. Good old road favorite Ricky is at work
your,
here.
Your
but,
number one pick is always a road favorite.
Yeah, the Broncos are at they're hosting. No, they're at Carolina.
Get the toilet paper
They're
out of your
laying
mouth.
4. It's been a long day. They're laying 4. It's down from 4.5 earlier. Again, if
you
I'm
hate
gonna
Carolina,
if
just
I'm gonna,
admit it.
If I'm going to bust on that, yeah, exactly. And if I'm going to bust on networks for the showbiz stuff, what the hell is the number one team of Nance and Sims doing here? But ooh, it's Peyton Manning and Cam Newton.
Oh, such a great storyline.
CBS
there.
CBS going all showbiz on us, just like the other networks.
Well, what game should they be at?
Shame on you,
what
Tiffany.
What game should
Network.
They be at?
What game should they be at? They
yeah.
Should,
what game should they be at here?
They should be at. That's a good question. It's a fair question.
Yeah,
but
I know it is. I'm fair and balanced here. Is it?
As much as I ragged on Baltimore-Oakland before, that's a little more newsworthy than this. Boy, it's a horrible
it
slate.
Is?
Yeah.
There's no good AFC games. Remember, CBS can only have AFC games.
Yeah.
And there's not a good car. I'm not surprised.
What about New England-Buffalo?
Because then you'd be just complaining that they follow New England every week.
Heads you win, tails I lose, or the reverse,
all right, here's
of that
the thing.
Or whatever.
Look, I know where you're going. Where I'm going. I'm going Carolina. I think they're underrated still.
I think Denver can cover the number. They're going to be my play.
Here's the thing. Denver a little overrated right now. Mm-hmm. Carolina's still a little underrated. That's the way I'm looking at it. Home dog. I used Carolina last week against Washington. Loved every minute of Cam Newton beating RG3. And again, I've said this before on a previous show. Everyone's like, oh, can Denver win the AFC? Is Denver the best team? They've already played New England and Houston, and they were down by 20 points in both those games. I see Denver getting the third seed, and you talk about showbiz. You talk about Nance and Sims. How about Denver-Indianapolis in the wild card round? By God, King, what will Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning do at midfield? Will Luck pile drive him on the 50-yard line?
Somebody just shoot me now.
How good would that be? Why wouldn't you want that?
My sports pure and unencumbered by showbiz storylines. Thank you very much.
So two good quarterbacks is no good for you?
Two good quarterbacks as long as nobody's talking about it.
Yes, because Lord knows we're paying $1 billion to show a game and we wouldn't want to promote it.
No storylines.
Yeah, good grief.
No storylines.
Good grief. You know what the storyline is here?
What?
Upset.
John Fox. Well, okay.
I guess there is the John Fox storyline.
I'll be playing that up also.
I'll tell you what, your boy Jerry Richardson, you know, John Fox had to go at the time. But Ron Rivera is horrible. That's the only thing that scares me. I don't like betting on Ron Rivera because he is awful.
Here's the other thing, too. While Carolina has, on paper, a very good backfield, 1,000-yard guys, and
they don't use them
enough. Jonathan Stewart, they're not in rhythm. I mean, Williams, 3.7 yards per carry. Stewart, 3.8 yards per carry. Denver has balance. Carolina will struggle to have balance. That's the number one reason why Denver is here.
Look, common sense says it's Denver.
They're one of the best balanced teams in the league.
I just smell a little something here.
Okay.
I just smell a little something. I'm smelling a little home dog cooking here. Carolina, my fourth recommended play of the week.
You're fourth. Okay, so you're on Carolina, Detroit, Cincinnati, and Baltimore this week.
Yes.
My three plays, of course, the one from Twitter for Thursday night. If you check there to see if it won or lost. Indianapolis, also Seattle, and then in this game, Denver. Again, my 1,000-star gold play to lock of the millennium for this week. It is 6-3 on the season here. That's the only thing. I'd already spotted a long time ago on this here. I'm not going to go toe-to-toe with you on all my recommended plays. They're 13-13-1 right now. What I'm looking to see, where I'm hoping to stay with you there, is on my single play for the week. Right now, 67%, I'm rocking on that. You're rocking 64% on a bigger body of plays here, 23-13-1. So,
yes.
That's a number that I think could come right down to the wire optimistically for me as the season goes by. But an interesting slate of games this week.
It'll be big with Denver-Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. The only game all week where we disagree.
Yeah, and it's your favorite and one of my recommended.
It's my favorite and 20 of your recommended ones. Yeah, but
I don't feel good about that one either, Carolina pick. I'm basically just trying to be the smartest guy in the room.
And Denver's my – I mean, that's the only game.
Denver's definitely going to be the third seed in the AFC. I said that last week and I maintain it. They will pass Baltimore.
They absolutely
towards the end.
Are, yeah. I think they very well might. Baltimore is going to be hard-pressed to hang in there. The rate that they're going. Baltimore looks like the kind of team that's going to back into a divisional title the way that they may play in the second half.
And it'll just be interesting because I'm in Pittsburgh again. I see them matching up in the wild card round. Home field advantage, huge in that potential matchup.
Yeah, and as a Browns fan, I can say any game that ends with massive injuries between the two teams.
Stop that. You should root for other people's success, as I see my good personal friend Bill Simmons on NBA Shootaround, by the way, which I know you had some disparaging remarks earlier in the week. You've got to be ashamed of yourself.
I'll just repeat it here. Kyle Ross, advocate of the 1%.
I'm not against success. I mean, I'm sure Bill pays his taxes.
Yeah, you just want him taxed at a rate that would completely disincentivize him to show up at work every day.
There's always Grantland.com.
Yeah. Very nice. All right, so there's our picks for NFL Week 10.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Timeout. Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.